For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you visitors. Pastor don't preach about tithe every Sunday. Okay? This is my one time a year I do. Hey, listen, man, you don't know what people will leave with in their mind when they're here for the first time, okay? So you got to be careful. You got to be very careful. So the pastor don't preach about this stuff. This is one of my only time of the year I bring this message to the congregation because you have to be reminded. I remember one time I was walking when we first opened the church here in Conway, and the praise and worship team was here, and we had tons of visitors all over the church, man. People were in here, and they're from all different categories, and some of them were unsaved because they were from the community and stuff like that. And I remember walking in the sanctuary, and they were playing, they were doing praise and worship, and they ended a song. And then all of a sudden, as I step into the sanctuary, they started a new song. And the song, the words of the song was, I'll give it to you. The words of the song was, oh, the king is here. I stepped right back outside. Why? I didn't want someone leaving saying, oh, I went to this church, and as the pastor walked in, they start singing, the king is here. So you got to be careful what kind of message you send with people. Amen? Have you ever been talking about something and someone walk in the room and all they heard is just a few words that just don't make any sense to them? Yeah, so you got to be careful. Praise God. But the reason why I'm really just, I gave you those popcorn and I gave you those peanuts. How many of you already ate it? Okay. How many of you still got some left? I figured, yeah. All right. I gave those to you because I want to teach you today about tithe and offering. And I want to illustrate to you and what our life is when we eat everything we get. We eat it, and now we're waiting for more. What a pastor. I had to get this across to you somehow. And I said, Lord, how can I let them get it? When you are paid, or when the Lord bless you, or when God opened doors for you, this is what we do. And we're waiting for more. Earlier, throughout the message, or as we were doing praise and worship, or as we were ending praise and worship, I talk about it all comes down to you. Here's what people are waiting for every single day. They're waiting for God to move. They're waiting for God to heal them. They're waiting for God to bless them. They're waiting for God to open doors. God have already done all of that for us. God have already made the way. God have already paved the way. God, can I tell you that you're healing? If you're waiting for God to heal you, it's already been done. By his stripes, you were not will. You were healed. It's already done. All you got to do is receive it. And sometimes we can't receive it because of the location and the position that we are in. So when we receive, we eat it. And we're waiting for more. From where? You didn't put any in the ground. You ate it. And it's done. And we want somebody else. How many of you have some left? Still have some left? Yeah. How many of you want some of hers? How many of you want some of his? See, that's what we are like sometimes in the body of Christ. When God have already paved the way in how you can be blessed. See, you have to understand that God don't want money. God just wants obedience. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Because God gave you everything that you need. He said, here is your seed. It comes down to what you do with that seed that determines the blessing that can happen in your life. But we eat it, and we say, God, bless me. How come you're not blessing me? How come you're not opening door? Okay. Oh, I ate it. I can preach this morning? Can I preach this morning? Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, the love of money is the root of all evil. When you love it, it is the root. Not money is the root of all evil. We need money. You got to have money to survive. You got to have money to provide for your family. You got to have it. But when we love it more than God, it develops evil in your life. So what is this message really about, Pastor? How are you bringing this thing? I'm bringing this thing to you because I want you to understand that what God wants to do in your life is not about what you give to the church. It's not about how much you give to the church. It's not about what how much you make. And no, this is about your life. This is about our life. This is about what happens when we are blessed and how do we receive our next blessing? How do we receive our next door to be open unto us? Or how do we experience from the next door that is open unto us? You have to understand that it comes back down to us. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 1 through 6. And I'm just going to read the first verse for you. Or just Genesis, Exodus, right? Exodus. And I'm going to use the New Living Translation, even though they're going to have it up for you. But you can look at it in your own Bible as well. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1. And it says, the Lord said unto Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from all whose heart are moved to offer them. I want you to hear what the word says. Accept the contributions from people's, from who? People's heart that are moved. Amen? And he said, here is a list of sacred offerings you may accept from them. And if you're reading the scripture, you will see all the different things, such as gold, silver, bronze, blue pearl, all these different scarlet thread, and all these different things that he said, I want you to bring. And what was the purpose? He wants them to bring it to build the tabernacle. I'm going to say something to you this morning that you probably have never heard in your whole life. First of all, the tithe serves a different purpose from the offering. Amen? The tithe serves a complete different purpose from the offering. And so when we talk about tithe in a church, the tithe, the Bible in which we will go through here as I give you a couple of pointers, the tithe have a different purpose, right? So bring ye the tithe into the storehouse so there will be meat in God's house. The Bible emphasizes that because he said this brings meat. What does meat mean? It means that whatever is necessary to keep the people fed, if it's to cover the lights, if it's to cover the water, if it's to cover, take care of the Levites, whatever the situation is from the Old Testament, you see it there. So you're understanding that you have the tithe and then you have the offering. This is the offering, the sacrificial, the sacred offering that people should bring. A lot of times when people think about offering, they think about money. But offering is not just money. Offering is a part of what you do. So if there's a church that's filled with people that are teachers and you are chefs and you teach for a living, then you should be so willing to come and make sure those classrooms that we have in children's ministry has the best teacher there is. If you are a cook and we have an event, we should have the best food there is. Why? Because you are given an offering to your church that in returns give glory to God. Let me give you a couple more things. Now, number two is there. People brought things to build the tabernacle. From Exodus, it emphasizes that people brought things to build the tabernacle. This was not their tithe. This was from what they do. Growing up, we bring some of the best things. People are coming to our houses. We would bring some of the best things. We save the best. We want to bless them. But God didn't say, give me all. God says, bring the worst. Bring the tenth. I use the illustration for coffee. And back home when I growing up, we would pick coffee. And I remember that's one of the things my mother did for a living or to get me through school. She picked coffee and we got paid by the box. How many boxes of coffee you can pick per day. And these are little grains of coffee. So if you think about a coffee bean, it's two of them together locked in a little thing for some of you that don't know what coffee is. And she has to pick them off the tree. And people were expert at it, man. People were. And they had to pick boxes of coffee every single day to get paid by coffee. But one of the things that happened when you pick those coffee, you take them to the, what do you call this place now? The coffee, Horace, what do they call this place? The coffee where they swim the coffee and take it from you. Huh? Coffee mill. When they take it over there, they swim the coffee. We call it swim the coffee. And what you do is put it in a basket with holes, or and you dip it down, and the ones that have some kind of issue will float to the top. Watch what I'm getting to. Watch what I'm getting to. Then they take all of those off, and they pay them based on what was underneath. They pay them for everything. Okay, thank you. But they give you the ones up top, they take it off. So, all right? They take it off, and they most times they either throw it to the side, and then they use it, pound it out, and they swim it again, or they get rid of the bad ones. And God is saying there is a 10% that is bad. But God says, bring it and give it to me. The pattern of God have never changed. He always takes what not good and turn it into something great. Oh, somebody better give him praise. The pattern of God have never changed. He said, I don't want your 90. I just want the 10. We talk about tomatoes. You have one bad tomato in the basket. What happens if you don't take it out? Spoils the whole bunch. So we go ahead and we just eat. Next thing I want you to see is God is not obsessed with money. It's your obedience that he wants. A lot of times people think that God just so wants money. But God just wants your obedience. In fact, the Bible says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because a lot of times people come and say, well, I'm gonna sacrificially give this. I'm going to give this because, no. God wants, it's all right to sacrifice. But God says, I just want you to be obedient first. I said to you, give and it shall be given to you. What? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over, shall men give into your bosom. So therefore, if you will give, if you'll just obey, God says that you will receive, you will open doors for you. But we just eat it. And then we look around and we wonder why it's not coming our way. Oh, am I taking you somewhere? Am I taking you somewhere this morning? So tithing. Here's a revelation that God has given me. Two perspectives. God is saying that we are still the church, not only of the Old Testament, but also of the New. What do I mean by that? The same scripture that says that they brought offerings to build the tabernacle They brought so much. That's why I'm not a big fan of fundraising. I'm not. Because I believe that we are a church of the New Testament and we are a church of the Old Testament. The Bible says that they brought so much. And you'll never hear anybody preach a message like this in tithe and offering. I promise you. Because all of it turns out to be where, oh, the church needs this and the church needs that. Let me tell you something. The day we started this church, I asked the Lord, I said, God, I do not want to be in a position where I'm always pressuring the people and I'm always asking the people to give and to do this and to do that. I'll never ask them to pay my mortgage. I'll never ask them to take care of me. I go places to preach. I don't ask people for money. I just want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God gave that. So I don't come up here loaded with, oh, we need you and we need you. No. That's not God. The Bible says, the Bible made it clear constantly in the scripture. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things shall be added unto you. But here's what God is saying to me. He said, the more they brought, Moses went to a place where he said, God says to Moses, tell them stop. Don't bring no more. We have enough. When are we going to get to the place as a church to say, stop. Don't bring no more. We have enough. Same thing in the New Testament. God says to give, and as you give, it shall be given to you. It's a New Testament, it's an Old Testament, but it's a message of God that we've got to be at a place. And here's the other New Testament passage. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they gave and they supported each other, and none had a need. They ate and be merry with what each other had. They shared it with those that had none. So therefore, our brothers and sisters, like we've been talking about church, discipleship for the last few weeks, as disciples, we want to bless other disciples. We want to make sure if they are hurt, we are hurt. If they are blessed, we are blessed. We're always doing for them because they are disciples. We want to disciple them. We want them to want to come to church. We want them to want to be around us. We want them to want to be in what God is doing. But people today, they are so selfish that they focus on themselves and forget about people around them. What I don't get is everybody runs to the church when they need financial support, but they also say the church don't need any money. Amen. I guess the church is truly a faith-based church. Amen. What the church needs is people being obedient so that God can open doors for them as God continue to use the 10% that is messy and turn it into something great. Oh, I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens. Somebody shout hallelujah. But since I'm not going to get a lot of amens, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you, and I'll attempt to give you all of them, 10 reasons why I tithe. I'm not going to tell you why you should tithe, but I'm going to give you 10 reasons why I tithe. Now, here's something that I want to point out, because I'm focusing on tithe now, but then you also will see offering mixed up in there as we go along. But you have to understand that sometimes people miscalculate what tithe and what offering is. Tithe is 10%, one-tenth of your income. And I could preach a message on tithe, I could preach a message on offering, I could preach a message on first fruit. You don't want to hear that. Amen? You don't want to hear that. But if you really hear it and you apply to it and you're walking onto it, you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. But tithe is 10% of your income that you release, or you bring to the storehouse and say, here it is, you release it, and you say, God, have your way with it. We don't dictate what gets done with it. We don't dictate who gets it. We don't do, no. You release it, and you say, God, have your way with it. So 10 reasons why I tithe. The first reason is to honor God's word. Somebody shout, honor God's word. I want to honor God's word. That's why I do it. I don't want to just honor my word, because the Bible make it clear obedience is better than sacrifice. God says do it, though, so be it. I release it. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21. It says, Caesar's, they replied. Well, then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to who? To God. We don't go to the tax collector and we don't tell them how much we should give them. We do what we need to do because that's what they say. Come on, somebody. I mean, you can try to fight the system as much as you want, but if you don't do what you're supposed to do, they're going to seize your land. They're going to seize your house, and you can't do nothing about it. Can I talk to somebody? But here's how God works. He said, you decide if you want your land or your house or your finances to be seized. If you give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. That's what God says. But if you don't give, you are determining the blessings or the curse upon our own lives. Now, let the tax collector tell you, you decide. How many of you would right away stop paying taxes? If your mortgage company call you right now, you decide when you pay me. But none of them can do that like God does. God says, you decide if you want to be blessed. You decide how your door going to be open. You decide. If you praise me, your blessing come down. You decide. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God, I'm going to praise you. Can I tell you, there are so many people that are waiting for their blessing, but all God says to do is release. But we eat it. The next reason why I tithe, so there will be meat in God's house. I tithe, so there will be meat in God's house. That's the word of God. He says, I want meat to be in my house. I want my house to be taken care of. I want my house to not have a lack. And you have to understand that if there is meat in my house, people will run to the storehouse. Come on, somebody shout storehouse. Storehouse is the house of the Lord. It's a sanctuary. It's a place where people come when they're hurting, when they're broken, when they need help, when they need assistance, when they need elevation, when they need motivation. We run so many different programs here. But I thank God that he have given me the vision and the wisdom in how to carry out things and to put things into place, because you have to understand that God wants his people blessed. God wants his doors to be open, but we have to understand that we have to desire for God's house to be blessed, and so there is meat in his house. Can I tell you that if there is meat in God's house, there will be meat in yours? To take care of his, and he'll take care of yours. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. So therefore, when the hungry comes and say, I need it, it's available. Not only do we just give a handout, but then we start to teach them how to fish. Can I talk to somebody? Because the church is filled with people of professions. The church is filled with people of giftings and talents. But God would like to see you do as the word of God says. The next reason why I tithe that it is the best investment there is. If you're going to invest in anything, and you will release this into God's house, into the business of God. We're not telling you to, bring your paycheck and to throw it in, unless you're talking about first fruit. But you're saying, God, with clear motive, God, I'm doing this because I want to give you glory. And I'm honoring your word. Anybody remember what you had? Was it peanut or was it popcorn? You remember? Both. Some of you had both. Some of you stretch your hand twice. Can I have one back? It's all vanished. Oh, you got popcorn and peanut. Oh, my mother's got some. Luke chapter 6 and verse 33. Like I've been quoting earlier. Give and what? Let me read it. Give and it shall be given unto you. Say it with me. Good. Come on. Press down and what? Shaken together. And shall who? Hold it. We are waiting for God to move. We're waiting for God to pop a window open out of the sky and money start flowing. We're waiting for God. Brother Chris will tell this story better than I, but I've heard of this story where the guy was waiting for God. He was stuck. I think he was stuck in a ditch, a flood. And God sent a good Samaritan and stretched something over and said, come, grab it. No, I'll be all right. I'm waiting for God. An helicopter came, hanging over. Jump up, come on up. No, 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 no. I'm waiting for God. Some of us are like that. God placed people in your life to bless you. God placed people in your life to overwhelm you with blessing. I used to tell people, don't know, I don't need your money. It's all right. But the Lord showed me. He said, God will use people to bless you, even if it is your enemy. God has a purpose for every single person that comes into your life. God uses them. Shall men given to your bosom. For with the same measure, this is what I don't want you to miss. For with the same measure that ye meet, withhold. It shall be what? Measured to you a what? Again. Somebody shout again. Yeah. So you give based on how you want to receive. There are $100 bills and there are $1 bills. Which one of them you think they made more of? Huh? Not $1, $100. There are more $100 bills made. But I think the $1 bills find church. $1 bills were a person, they would be holy. Oh, glory be to God. Can I talk to somebody? You know why they develop offering envelope? To hide $1 bills. You don't know what I'm talking. And then we say, God bless me with the same measure you meet. It shall be measured to you again. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. You look at your shopping statement, what is it saying? McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, this place, that place, church, McDonald's, this place. Because you realize that all we want is self. We want to be taken care of. But we don't want to take care of God's house. And when we are out, we look and say, who's going to help me? Oh, am I preaching truth, somebody? Let me try to finish this thing real quick here. Glory be to God. It's the best investment there is. Number four, because I give, because I love. Somebody shout love. I love my church. I give because I love my church. I love not the kind of love that we just say, I love you, and that's it. Everybody you talk to, hey, I love you, man. Be careful. I love you, but. You ever heard that one? I love you, but. Love has no but. Hello? Love have body. Love has action. Love have doing. Love has show me what you got. Can I talk to somebody? Love has action. The Bible says, Songs of Solomon chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, many waters cannot quench love. So if you're going to give me love, put some syrup in it. Can I talk to somebody? That's what the Word of God is saying. If we want to get to the place where doors are opening, you got to get to the place where you understand that what you have, what comes into your hand, you have to learn how to release it and invest it into God's kingdom and say, God, I know that you're going to give me back good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Everywhere in the scripture where the Bible talks about a return, he never talks about it where it is not pressed down and running over. He always says there is more where that comes from. The New Testament tells you that in what we just read in Luke chapter 6, 38. Good measure, what? Pressed down and what? Shaken together and running over. Malachi tells us the same thing. He said, try me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Continuously through the scripture, we talk about the woman that was about to lose her son and the man of God told her to go pour oil. And as she borrow pots and pour the little oil that she does have, and she brought and she poured, and as she got filled up, he said, go sell the oil and pay the debts that you owe and live off the rest. But we have set God to a limit where we only need just enough. When our God is more than enough. When God is saying, I don't want you. Some of us, you have to understand that you don't need to be living off of your paycheck. You need to be living off of the overflow. Come on, somebody. You shouldn't be waiting on your paycheck to clear for you to do something. Ooh, glory be to God. You got to get to a place where you're saying, God, I've already cleared my debt, taken care of things, and that paycheck's just going to come whenever. But it determines, it comes down to what we do. Next reason why I tithe is to fulfill an obligation. I tithe because there's an obligation that needs to be fulfilled. If I'm a part of a church, if I'm a part of a body, I will not withhold. My wife and I tithe every single week. Always. Amen? It's not a hesitation. She made sure. Sometimes I look at the check and I'm like, woo, bless you. She goes above and beyond. Why? Because we have an obligation. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, it says, What sorrow awaits you, you teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspect of the law, justice, mercy, faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. How merciful are we to our church? How discerning are we to our body, to the body of Christ, and to others around us? I hope that there's only a fraction of people in the church today that are getting convicted. I'm joking. The next thing here is, the reason I tie this to escape condemnation. Somebody shout escape. Condemnation. How can I escape condemnation? The Bible says, will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me in tithe and where? Offering. I don't want to be condemned. I want to be convicted. And when we don't do what the Word of God is saying, every time you read the scripture and you see it, in fact, people skip that area. They don't want to see it. In fact, they find excuses why they shouldn't read it. and why they shouldn't give. Anytime you start talking about tithing and somebody is creating a, oh, where does it say that? Oh, I don't give because, I mean, I always give and I don't put it in the envelope. Oh, I mean, all kind of excuses people find. And I'm like, are you really serious? This is a pattern. Let me teach you something that you've never really realized. There is a pattern that God, see, tithe is not even the way we tithe today, we shouldn't even be flowing on it. Why? Because if you are a giver, tithing is the last thing that should pressure your mind. But it's a pattern that God uses to teach us how to give. The same way he used the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. He said, and he taught them to pray. The pattern in which he gave them how to pray. He said, our Father, which means recognize who you're praying to. Don't just start praying because there are many gods. He said, acknowledge who you're praying to. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, this is the pattern. So it's the same way he used this message of tithing to teach us how to give. So after a while, you don't even think, you don't even calculate 10%. Why? Because you're releasing, because you know how God is going to return to you. A lot of times people think that tithe is bigger than offering. And in some cases, they think offering is smaller or bigger than tithe. But the tithe is 10%. The offering is sacrificial. The offering at times is larger than your tithe. Because you see a need, such as we're building a new church. We see a need, oh, we're going to build a new food bank if that's what we were doing. And we're asking you to give toward that. I'm going to give sacrificially. That's different. That's above your tithe. Or sometimes when we come to the place where we said we're doing this and do that, people apply their tithe to these projects. That's not, you bring the tithe into the storehouse. I can't change that. And then you make sacrificial giving. How can you make sacrificial giving in that perspective? Because the last time you tithe, God blessed you. The last time you gave a sacrificial offering, God opened doors. So why stop? Hallelujah. The next reason why I give is to spread. Number 7 is to spread the gospel. We're getting there. Am I at number 7? Amen. It's to spread the gospel. I give because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Ooh, Jesus. How many of you get blessed when you come to Beulah Worship Center on Sunday mornings? Nobody's going to raise their hand today. You did it last week. If this is where you're getting fed, if this is the place where you're being fed spiritually, if this is a church where you attend, see, I'll tell people right away, if this is not your home church, when I say your home church, this is not the church where you are if you're just visiting. For example, we have a couple here and we have her over here. If this is not your church and you have a church that you commit to and you just come, you know what, we're going to go visit this church and you shows up and you're about to hand your tithe to this church, I'm going to tell you right away, don't you do it. But if you don't have a church and you come and you said, I understand that I'm supposed to be tithing, and you just got fed, you release your tithe. But if you're visiting from another church and this is your church and that's your church and that's where you're committed to, that's your commitment, don't you drop that tithe. I'll tell you in a heartbeat, don't give it. You can give an offering, but not a tithe. But this is your home church. This is a place where you are fed every week, whether online or in person. For those of you that are watching as well, whether online or in person, this is your home church. You send and you make sure the gospel of the kingdom is preached. If you look around, the amount of cameras we have in this place, they're not handed to us. We're setting it up to establish MFTN TV network around the world. renegotiating right now to hit millions of homes in Asia on satellite. Why? Because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached before the end come. Somebody shout amen. Number eight. Remember I said I'm giving you 10 reasons why I tithe, not why I should tithe. Number eight, to avoid a curse. Somebody shout, avoid a curse. Look at your neighbor and say, avoid a curse. Mm-hmm. Avoid a curse. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for he have robbed me. Jesus Christ, let me make this clear to you, because people get controversial with this thing. Jesus Christ came and he paid the price. And the Bible says that cursed is everyone that's up on a tree. And Jesus came and he became the curse so we don't have to. But he said, when you have that tomato in the basket, that's bad. And you just decide to just leave it, keep it, eat it all. You are allowing, God's not cursing you. You are allowing curse to remain in your finances. That's why I tithe. I don't want curse to be among me. I want to break generational curse from family members that have never adopted the fact that they need to tithe. There are some of us that we have never been taught in a growing up that we should tithe. And you have watched your family member, your family tree, just continuously. They have never obtained, they have never truly developed the business that they want. And you are trying to do a business and it can't work because theirs didn't work. It's time to break that curse. Amen. Yeah, see, tithing message works. Number nine, just getting through here. I tithe to enjoy God's blessings. Whoo! I want to enjoy what God released in my life. Amen. So whenever I tithe, I know that God's going to give it back. God's going to not. And that's something I want you to know. God will never commission you to give a bottle of water. Come on, hon, right here. And God gives you back a bottle of water. No. God's going to give you a case of water. If God just give you back a bottle of water, that was emotion. You just did that thing out of emotion. But you got to understand that if God commissioned you to release something, I said he's going to give it back to you good measure. 100-fold. He has to. It's his word. I love to use this scripture that it says, that emphasizes that God's word will not return unto him void. I emphasize that because the blessings that God wants you to have, he's not going to do it. He has already done it. He has released the word of grace over your life. He has released the grace, the word of mercy over your life. He has released the word of blessings over your life. It has been released and it's hovering over you until we make the choice that will release it upon our lives. So God's not going to bless you. He has already done it. It's just sitting there waiting for you to do some action. And the moment you do the action, boom. How many of you just never really comprehended? You give something today, and tomorrow it's in the mail. The blessings is in the mail. Huh? You see the blessing in the mail tomorrow, and you're like, oh, I guess it was already in the mail. Yeah, that's because God already knew that you would have done it. Amen, somebody. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not, help me read, open you the windows of what? Heaven, and what? pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I want you to highlight one word there. Open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a. And I want you to look back at another word. Somebody shout windows. It says windows, which means what? More than one. Can you imagine? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 windows in here. And God just popped all them blinds open. And only through one window, there goes your blessing. And God says, huh? You want more? There are 4 others ready to come into your life. I'm trying to make sure we get it. So God says, I will open up windows and release one blessing. Singular. Glory be to God, Noah. Finally, the reason why I tithe, and this is something that we should never miss, is to be an example. How dare me come up here and preach to you about tithing if I can't be an example? Because if you have people that are watching you and are motivated by you, some of us, we categorize what they should be motivated by us with. But this is also the area that they should be motivated by us with. That when you give, it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. We gotta be an example and say, God, I'm doing this because the people that are following will learn that what you do when you obey the word of God, it will come back to you. Good measure. How many of us can truly be an example? How many of us can truly desire God to work on our behalf and not so focused on what we have in our hands or what we don't have? But say, God, I know that you're going to open doors if I am obedient to you. Going right back to our illustration. This is what I'm talking about. When we eat, what do we get? We're good for now, but we have nothing left. Can I get hers? Can I get yours? Yeah. I didn't tell her to do any of this, I promise. Can somebody bring that for me? Or she can bring it. Bring yours. Yeah. I know, she's just smart. Sometimes, if it cannot meet your need, make it a seed. You hear what I'm saying to you? If it cannot meet your need, make it a seed. Because the next time you see it, let me just show you stuff. You give that to her? Come on. Just hand it to her. A little bit more. She don't have to give it all away again, but she can still take some of that seed, throw it in the plant. She gets to eat, but yet something is growing. That is what God desires for each and every one of us. Our blessing is determined by our actions. Give God a praise offering, somebody. Stand with me. Sing me a verse, please. I'm going to say something to you. And again, I try to be very careful in what I say, because you also have to be very careful who you share things with. That's a message to you as well. But I'm going to be honest with you. From the day I received the revelation of giving, my wife and I, we don't have the financial issue. Now, get this. There are days we wonder, how is it going to work? But it always shows up. That's my point. God, oh, he has to come through. There's so many of us, we're fighting every single day and letting money and love of money become a big part of our lives. But money is just a cycle. Don't let it overshadow your life. I promise you, it's going to go somehow, and it's going to come somehow. I used to be so careful in how much I spend to take care of the family or to take care of ourselves. But the day I received that revelation that it's just a cycle. Bless yourself, but make sure you bless God first. Because we're here today, and we could be gone tomorrow. But what will you be remembered by? How much impact have you made in someone's life? You had it. Some of us are, what they call it? However you pronounce it. It means you keep a lot of stuff. You just keep it. You get it and you pile it up. You need to release. Because when you release, God's not going to bring new wine into that old bottle. You got to pour it out and say, God, I depend on you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to go home and grab your mortgage and come throw it at the altar. It's not what we're saying. We're teaching you how to set up your life for continuous blessings when you are obedient to the word of God. Some of us tithe in and out a little bit here. Just make it look. Now, listen, man. If God's give you a job that blesses you with $5,000 a month, praise the Lord, give your 10%. If God bless you with a job and all it is $1,000 a month, give your 10%. Don't skip it and say, well, it's too big. then that's where you will stay. You're stingy. And you're saying you want to win the lottery, but you can't. I'm messing. Some of us are, oh, we got to win the lottery. I want to win that. You don't even play. Don't do it. But my point is, you can't be at this place where you're saying, God, bless me with $1 million, but, I will give to the church 10%. You won't even give 10% when you have 1,000 or 100 at that. You're not going to do it. It's the truth. You will not do it. I've prayed for people so many times to obtain jobs and blessings and things like that. And they said, this happens, Pastor. You know how much this is going to do for the church. And the moment they got it, boom, they left. They go to the mega church where they can hide in the congregation. Try him, the Bible says, and see. And you will remember all 5 windows in this church. You will stop looking to all 5 and you'll look to 1. Because you'll remember that God says there is more where that came from. Close your eyes with me. Father, this is a word that I believe needs to go nationwide, worldwide. A word that will make an impact on individuals' life to help them understand that it's not what the church needs, but it's what you have set up for us to be blessed in our everyday life. I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to anoint your people afresh. That they, oh God, will get the revelation of how important it is to give and to release in the church. So God, that you can continue to open doors for them. I thank you, Lord, that so many that have a need of jobs and opportunities, that you are opening that door now. The revelation in how to go about it, Father, is coming upon them now. I give you praise and I give you glory. That doors, oh God, that have been locked for a while because of their obedience today will change. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people shout amen.